Dear congregation, life is a battlefield on which we live out our days, some oblivious to the battle, fritter away their life, unaware that they really are on the side of him who is man's sworn enemy and wishes to take as many as he would down with him to the pit. Others experience this battle and know these enemies. They know them without, and they feel them within. And on a week of preparation, and throughout this week, this battle can be so sorely felt, and we might reach the end of it and feel almost swallowed up by all that has taken place. What a wonder it is that the Lord says in His Word that He sets a table before and in the presence of our enemies, and He anoints our head with oil. And He does this so mercifully and in a way, people of God, that exalts His own merits and grace and character, that there's nothing left but to adore sovereign grace and mercy. As we hope to see, both from the Word of God in our hearing, but also in the display of these things at the Lord's Supper, but our text can be found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 39. And 40. Luke 24, verse 39 and 40, where we read these words of the Lord: "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. Thus far the words of our text. Our theme with the Lord's help is "Handle me and see." We'll see, first of all, human hands. Secondly, we'll see hell-closing hands. Thirdly, we'll see heaven-opening hands. And fourthly, we will see handled hands. Handle me and see. Human hands, hell-closing hands, heaven-opening hands, and handled hands. Congregation nailed to the cross by His hands and His feet. The Lord Jesus Christ had hung between heaven and earth for 6 long hours on the hill of Golgotha. There He had paid the price for sin. There He had laid down His life and given it as a ransom for many. And to prove it all, the soldier's spear had punctured His body, and forthwith came blood and water, witnessed too by those who were there, including a centurion who confessed, "Most certainly this was the Son of God." Late Friday afternoon, His body had been laid in a tomb unused before, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, where the body of Christ rested and waited through what we call Silent Saturday, the last Sabbath in the old dispensation. And then suddenly, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Christ arose, and He was raised with the power of an endless life. And in an instant, the kingdom of Satan gave way to the kingdom of the conquering King. He bound death and brought life and immortality to light in the gospel. And the power of sin was evidently broken. And the ransom price for sin had been paid, and now there was one who had called himself the resurrection and the life, and so it was, displayed before principalities and powers, before Satan and angels, before the universe. Here is one who proved true to his name. I am the resurrection and the life. And from then on, this conquering king, the Lord Jesus Christ, began handing out and showing forth his victory. He did so in many appearances to his disciples outside the grave and in rooms even where his people were gathered, moving easily through walls. He came wherever his people were, on mountains, by the sea, and all the time the Lord Jesus Christ was handing out the benefits of his resurrection to his dear, his frightful, his timid, his doubting people. And one of those instances is here in the text that was read in your hearing. It was the evening of the resurrection day. The disciples were in a room together. Reports were swirling around that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. Reports from women, reports from Peter, reports from the men on the road to Emmaus. And as these things were in their minds, as these disciples were cogitating on these things, suddenly the Lord Jesus himself stood in their midst and greeted them with peace. Peace be unto you. Oh, what peace this victor could speak. But terrified and frightened, the disciples imagined and questioned whether this was simply a spirit. Perhaps some evil spirit impersonating even the Lord Jesus, claiming to be Jesus. But the Lord Jesus calmed them, as he often had. Why? They heard his voice say, why are you so troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? And then the Lord gave them the proof that it was him. See my hands, see my feet, that it is I, myself. And not only were they invited to see, but also to handle. He commanded it even. Handle me and see. The disciples could know that here was indeed their Lord and Master. None other than him. He was living, walking, moving, breathing, speaking. He was able to be handled physically. Nail-pierced hands and a spear-pierced side. These were facts. These were reality. And the disciples were called to enter into this. And there is such beauty, isn't there, in these hands of Christ, as they also in the gospel are among us today, so very near, so very close. You see, children, the Lord's hands had done so many things on the earth. As a carpenter, he had labored with his hands, fulfilling all righteousness actively in his act of obedience. And in his ministry, these hands of Christ had touched so many, including the leper, this leprous man whom Jesus touched and healed. And he had even touched the dead and raised the dead. With these hands of Christ had broken the loaves and the fish and had fed the multitudes. His hands had been stretched out wide, calling the multitudes, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His hands he had freely given. that night of his betrayal, when he had said, "Let these go their way, take me," and the soldiers had bound his hands. And here again, these hands are visibly there among the disciples. Oh, dear friends, we have sinned so much with our hands, with our feet. In every respect, in our bodies, we have brought so much guilt to ourselves. Our hands, our feet, our bodies are testimonies of our sin. How deeply, how often we have sinned against knowledge, people of God, against grace, provoke the Lord to his face. Our hands we lift and make fists against a God who's done us never any wrong. And if you in this week of preparation have only focused on what you've done, even piously and religiously, the labor of your hands, well, my dear friends, I hope you've ended up in a complete knot, because it's not the labor of my hands. And whoever you are this morning, congregation, do you not hear the word of the risen Lord calling you away from yourself and calling you to see his hands? Oh, it's in a context in which he speaks to very frightful and very, very doubting disciples. They are cowering in fear. They do not know what to make of this all. And he invites them. He calls them. And he says, "Handle me and see." These are words that ring out across the ages and reach through your ears. May it be even into your hearts this day. Now, part of the reason the Lord said this to the disciples was no doubt because they felt that in his glorified state, the Lord could not be touched. It wouldn't seem right to touch him now, would it? Some have even taken the Lord's words to Mary when he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father," as proof of that, the Lord was not to be touched. But in that particular case, Mary was holding on to him in a way that she was desirous not to ever, ever let him go physically. She would keep him here in the garden with her forever. That was her desire in that moment. But the Lord Jesus Christ made clear that he had to ascend to her Father and to his Father and her Father. And that it would be for her betterment and for the betterment of his church if he would go. But the truth of the matter is that the Lord Jesus Christ can be touched. And here he even commands his disciples to handle him and to touch him. He is in his state of glory indeed. But that doesn't mean that he cannot be touched. No, the Bible says that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. So close is he. He has lost none of that merciful love wherewith he touched that leper and healed the blind and raised the dead. He is still the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he would that his disciples know that he is not simply a spirit. He is not simply a ghost. In his resurrection, he has not forfeited his body. No, his body has been raised. This is still the Lord, the mediator, the Son of God. In our nature, he has not forfeited that human nature. He appears in that human nature with a human body. He is still bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He is so near, congregation. Yes, he's true God, but he is also true man. He is the Son of God in our nature. And in the midst of the disciples' fears, he comes and he says to their fearful minds and hearts, "Handle me and see." It's as if the Lord is saying there, "Know that it is still me, that this is Jesus, that this is still the same Jesus. Touch me and know this. This is me." And his disciples were undoubtedly touching him. For John the Apostle writes in 1 John 1, verse 1 through 3, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, that declare we unto you, that your fellowship might be with the Father and with the Son, together with us." You see, congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ will forever maintain this nature, this human nature, and he will hold it to himself, never setting it aside. Throughout the endless ages of eternity, it will still be the God-man. This means, congregation, in the midst of our world that doubts and denies that the Lord exists and that the Lord has been truly raised, the church has all the proof it needs, and that is the infallible word of God that tells us that Christ is risen as the exalted Savior, and that he is still in our nature, and that he is true man. You know, young people and children, the Bible contains facts and history. Oh yes, much more than that, but nothing less than that. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Peter says, when we made known to you the truth, this is not a legend, this is not a myth, this is true. And frightened, fearful, doubting disciples would be changed into men bold as lions, going forth through the end of the world and speaking before emperors and kings and governors. We have seen him. We have handled him. Congregation, Christianity is not some philosophy, some mere religion of religious thoughts that people have dreamed up. It is reality, the reality of the Son of God in our nature, so near, so close, so sensibly, physically close. He's not a spirit. He's not a ghost. He's not in some nebulous fog that some people can mystically experience. No, he is real. He is tangible. He is close. He has still human hands. And they are, secondly, hell-closing hands. As the Lord Jesus reaches out his hands and his feet. And if you compare John, the Gospel of John, he also shows them his side. He is proving to them not just that he is human, but that he has done a great work. Children often can be fascinated with the battle scars. Maybe your dad or your uncle or your grandfather who went to war and came back. He was shot in the arm, maybe. Or some people even worse, they lose a limb. As has never happened in your family, is that someone who's been off to war and comes back and he suffered injuries, and the children gather around and they want to see that bullet hole, even feel it, even touch it. There's something heroic. There's something mysterious and glorious about that. That's how far they went into battle. They came so very close to death. They fought tooth and nail for freedom, for our country, for the ideals of our country. And indeed, how thankful we are for those who have risked their lives and for many who even gave their lives in the defense of freedom, that we might enjoy and have so many benefits. But congregation, even that cannot be compared really in essence to what the Lord Jesus Christ did, because scarcely for a righteous man would one dare to die, the apostle says. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet the ungodly, while we were yet enemies, with fists raised, breathing out threatenings and slaughter and scoffing against this one, God displayed his love. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his back to the smiter and his hands to be nailed to a cross and his feet as well. And he was sovereign in that. It just didn't happen to him. No, he gave them to the cruel death of the cross. He gave them willingly. And so his hands are not just human hands. They are scarred hands. And isn't this remarkable that even after the resurrection in which the Lord Jesus Christ is risen to an endless life, and he's brought life and immortality to life, that he has also yet sovereignly preserved the evidences of his suffering and death, and especially the curse that you and I deserve. It is you and I that should be nailed to the tree to die, to pay the price for our sins, to come under the curse of God due to our sins. But he, in his resurrected state, he preserves the emblems of his death and of his coming under the curse of God. The cost that he paid is engraven in the palms of his hands. He says in Isaiah, "Thy walls are ever before me." In other words, I see in my own hands, I see your everything, your security. I see your future. I see the fact that you will be preserved forevermore. Your walls, your salvation, and the fortress that salvation is, that lies engraven in the palms of my hands. No wonder he said in the presence of his disciples that Satan will not be able to pluck you out of my hands, because your life, your salvation, your future is engraven in that palm of my hands. Satan would have to undo that curse that I suffered for you, and he cannot. He never will be able to pluck you out of my nail-pierced hands. Oh, congregation, do you see how Christ's hands here are hell-closing hands? Child of God, maybe you've stared hell in the face this week of preparation. And even at some level, you've agreed with God that you deserve the curse, that you deserve to suffer everlastingly the just judgment of God because of your sins. Not just your sin in Adam, but also your sin after receive mercy. If you have looked down and feared greatly Their hell is not open for you. The Lord comes with his hands and his feet, and he interposes his himself, and he says, I for thee. Lest thou should have suffered endless, eternal reproach. I for thee. That's one of the great things that the Lord opens up at the Lord's Supper. When he breaks the bread, and he pours out the emblems of his suffering and of his blood, and he gives this to his people, and he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. These are hell-closing emblems in the sense that the Lord did this on the cross for all his own. And he witnesses and seals that unto us in the preaching of the gospel, but also in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And says it to you who fear that hell is not closed to you, but that it is open to you. And that that place where the worm dies not, and that is still your portion. He interposes himself and he says, handle me and see. Do you not see that in my suffering and in my death, there lies your security, your fortress, your strong tower? Run then to me, handle me and see. Clasp your hand in mine, for here in me is all that closes hell to you. Payment God cannot twice demand. Once at my surety's hand, and then again at mine. But congregation, if we have a master and a savior who still has, even now in his glorified state, battle scars that remind him and us of the security of the salvation, do you not also know that such a Savior has a people who come after him, taking up their cross and following him? Oh, so the Lord would have it be for these 12 disciples, for these 11 disciples. Most of them would suffer, even execution themselves. And certainly this is true, that God's people will forever be, not forever, in this life they will be a striving people. They will be striving against sin and against Satan, against the evil lusts of the flesh. They will be doing battle, and they will become battle weary. Are you battle weary? Oh, hear then the Lord say, handle me and see. The congregation, if Christ's hands are not just human hands and hell closing hands, then certainly they are also heaven obtaining hands. And don't you and I need that? It's one thing if hell would be closed to you, but just simply to continue on in this earth, in this state of misery in which we find ourselves, in this valley of tears, and simply to have hell closed to you, well, that's not it, is it? You need the presence of God. You long, you thirst, don't you? When shall I come and appear before God? And then it is not just enough to have hell closed, to have the payment procured, but you need to be brought also into the presence of him who is the source of life, who is the resurrection and the life. The Lord leads his people along a way in which they see more and more that it is not simply the Lord who has done a great work for them, but that they need him, that they need his presence every hour, and that they need to be close to him, because in his presence is fullness of joy forevermore. It is not just enough to know that your sins have been pardoned, that the guilt is taken away, and that the handwriting of your sin has been nailed to the cross, and that it's been blotted out by the one sacrifice of Christ forever. No, you need Him. You need Him whom your soul has begun to love. You need this one, this God-man in your nature, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. You need this one who has closed hell for you. You need not only the application of His work, but you need His person. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Heaven would be hell to me, says one, if Christ were not there. I need Him. I need Him now. I need Him tomorrow. I need Him the next day. I need Him forevermore. But congregation, isn't that also a reason why the Lord Jesus draws His people so close to Him and says to them, handle me. Handle me and see. Do you not see as you handle me that it is I, the same Jesus which was crucified, who is risen, who goes before you into Galilee, who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, who will open paradise for you and say, as He did to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Flaming cherubim, put the sword into your sheath, for the gate is open. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. So, child of God, weak and weary, don't seek to attain this yourself. Don't put your own sin-stained hands on heaven's gate and try to pry it open by your own merits and by your own efforts. Handle me, Christ says. There's all your salvation. There's all your hope. It lies in Him. It lies in His finished work. Handle me. Here He calls a wayward, doubting, frightful people to come to Him, because you can't handle Him without coming to Him, without coming near to Him, so near that He says to Thomas, put your finger into my hands and thrust thy hand into my side. And do not be fearful or disbelieving, but believe it is I. Believe I have done it. Believe me. I have opened heaven. I have opened paradise. I've not only paid the penalty for your sin, child of God, but I have procured for you an everlasting inheritance in the presence of myself and the Spirit and the Father forevermore. To make you not only hear that, but also see that, I've instituted my supper as a visible demonstration of my love. There are the signs, broken bread, poured out wine, signs of the cost. The same really as my hands and my feet. Here, so close. And I call you to come. Do not stay far. Handle me and see. You see, congregation, how the Lord longs to have His bride so very close to Himself. Something in us would understand it if the Lord would save a people and then keep them at a distance. Sinners that we are, so putrid, so vile, so wretched from our side. Well, it stays so bad, doesn't it? It seems like it gets worse. That the Lord would say, you know, you keep your distance, and yes, you can see, but please stay far away. Congregation, the opposite is the truth. He says, close, 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 closer than close. Handle me and see. Oh, dear friends, how do we handle this majesty? How do we touch Him? who is pure love, pure holiness, pure mercy. You said it, mercy. Come with all the need in your heart, your longing for mercy. Despite all your fears, all your confusion, despite the fact that from your side it will never ever be good, it will never ever become better from your side without the Lord, ever. But there is in the holiest, the people of God, there is from their side still nothing. Nothing at all. We daily increase our debt. And congregation, if you don't see the miracle of this all, then you are blind. Because it is love that binds itself to non-love. It is mercy that binds itself to sin. It is Christ who binds himself to the sinner. And he has everything, and I have nothing. I have nothing at all. All my scars are scars of sin. Everything in my body that is broken speaks of my sin. But everything in his body that's broken speaks of his love. And he binds himself to me and me to himself. And he says, handle me and see. And congregation, that's faith. That's faith. When he says, handle me and see, it's not some extraordinary experience that only a select few of God's people have. That the rest of God's people, they believe in that some people advance beyond that and they get to handle the Lord and to see. No. This is language of faith. Handle me and see. That means mix faith with the hearing of God's word and come with all your sin, with all your shame, with all your lack from your side. But come believing. That is, in all the emptiness of your soul, having nothing but the bare promise of God, the bare word of God, to come as a sinner. And nothing more, and nothing less. Be not faithless, but believing. And congregation, is especially in the struggle of faith, in which the Lord condescends so low, not to the most exercised, not to the excellent of the earth and all the rest of that, but he comes to you, my dear trembling sinner. And says, not the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners. Sinners, Jesus came to save. Handle me, sinner. Fly out of yourself. Fly with all your sin, with all the muck and the mud and the evil of sin. Don't try to make it better from your side. Don't try to cleanse yourself and make yourself more ready from your side to come. With all your sin and with all your shame, fly, fly, sinner, to him who says, handle me and see. Do you not think that he means it? Do you think that this risen Savior somehow would just be saying that and not meaning it? Oh, friend, there's such pure love and mercy that would hang on a cross for vile sinners like you and like me. And then when he opens his mouth and he says, handle me, he means it with all the love in his heart. Luther, who often struggled with the assurance of salvation and ended up in a knot time and again with himself. He had a spiritual advisor, a counselor, von Staupitsch, at one time in exasperation said to Luther, "Luther, with all your questions, with all your needs, hide in the wounds of Christ. Satan can't get you there. There's all manner of consolation in the wounds of Christ. Press into the wounds of Christ and you'll be safe." That's exactly what the Lord Himself says to you, fearful, doubting sinner. He says, "These wounds are for sinners. Press close to my side. That's where I want my bride, near to my side. Her life is bound to my life. Her salvation is bound to my finished work. Still closer to thy side, I press, for near thee all is well." And congregation, when by faith and by faith alone, nothing in my hands I bring, that's when the Lord is everything, so precious, so near, so full, so merciful, so everything. And you're nothing, and that's good. You don't want it any other way. And then by faith, even the weakest of faith, even faith like the grain of a mustard seed, hardly visible, just a speck, just a dot, nothing more. You think the winds could blow and that faith is gone. The waves could come and that faith is lost. But Christ knows His people. He knows them and He has them in His nail-pierced hand. And though Satan may buffet, though winds might blow, though waves might roar, He has me in His nail-pierced hands. That's all my salvation. That's all my hope. That's all my expectation, though He cause it not to grow. That's it. It's with Him forevermore. With Him. I deserved hell and He took it. And He gives me His heaven. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? Well, my dear friend, if you've come after this week of preparation and you have it in your own hands, you came through these doors this morning and you're sitting in church and you have your readiness for the Lord's Supper in your hands, oh my friend, lose it, throw it, drop it. It's not with you. It's never with you. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling, naked, come to thee for dress, foul, I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. The Lord says, handle me and see. And at the table, we hope to speak a little bit about what that seeing means. But let us, at this time, say amen. Let us pray. Gracious and good-doing Lord God, wilt thou be altogether the only, lovely, merciful One in our midst, the High Priest of our salvation, and may thy word, applied by thy Spirit, call us to consider the High Priest, the Apostle, and the High Priest of our profession. And may there be a people here looking out of themselves, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. We ask this all out of free grace and for His sake alone. Amen. Shall we sing in conclusion number 112? Before thy people I confess, withhold not thou thy grace from me. And what follows in 112, all the stanzas. Shall we continue with the second part of the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which you find on page 137, the second column. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted, the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and the shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." And that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Last Supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink." As often as ye drink it in remembrance of me, that is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood, to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice. Once offered on the cross is to the only ground and salvation of our only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body, in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, Out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together. So shall we all who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ be all together one body through brotherly love for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing our sins unto us, providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulation with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Congregation, as the table will be prepared, and let us sing at this time number 163, all the stanzas. 163, all the stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, the table of the Lord is open for sinners who find nothing in themselves but sin and shame, and who hear this Master and Savior call, "Handle me and see." And they're done handling themselves and sin and the world, which they know they're so bound to. The works of the flesh and the law, which we cling to so much. And it is such a relief to hear the Lord say, "Handle me and see." And you can't understand it. It is too high, it is too great. And yet the Lord says it. And His word is everything for your poor soul, for your naked life. And you're so done with yourself and your own righteousness and everything else that the world is calling you to handle. You say, if it could be true that a sinner could come and handle the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I know of nothing more blessed, nothing more necessary. And did you notice, congregation, that He said, "Handle me and see"? By nature, we don't see. We don't see. We're blind. But when by faith we handle the Lord Jesus Christ, then we begin to see. It's as if He anoints us with eye salve and we start to see things we never saw. Just a little, so often it seems. And it can become cloudy again and dark and dim. But then we cry, "Open my eyes that I might see." And He says, "Handle me and see." And He says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." What's in your hands that's weighing you down? And the sin that doth so easily beset us, which is unbelief, isn't it? So often, at least. Lay it aside, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, the nails, the spear, the wrath of God, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him which endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider Him. Look to Him. Look away from self. He did it for sinners. What contradiction did not you and I, people of God, offer against Him? And even this week, "Lord, I've contradicted Thee. I've resisted Thee." Consider Him, looking unto Him. And perhaps you say, "I can't look. I just can't see Him." Do you desire to look? Do you desire to see? Cry, and He will open your blind eyes. Handle me and see. Congregation, the table of the Lord is open for sinners who need this Christ. Nothing less, nothing more. Come. For all things are ready.
Shall we pray? Indeed, Lord, to live apart from God is death. 'Tis good thy face to seek. My refuge is the living God. His praise I long to speak. O Lord, wilt thou bless this food unto our souls and this drink. What a wonder that thou dost set a table in the presence of our enemies. And Lord, what enemies we have. Also within, the Lord be among us as the strong victor and as the gracious Savior who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, tempted in all things like as we are, and yet without sin. Lord, that is all our salvation. That is all our hope. Lord, give us eyes to see. Give us faith to handle these signs of thy love. The broken body, and the poured out wine. And may we see, even just a glimpse, thy love, thy mercy, and of the joy that is in thine own heart to have thy sin-stained bride so close to thy side. We ask this in the pardon of every sin, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. We read in Psalm 34 these words: "They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Handle me and see, the Lord Jesus Christ said. In other words, as you near me, as you approach me, as by faith you cast your lot in with me, as you obey my infallible word, my word of promise, as you come as a sinner and nothing more or less, as you handle me by faith, you will see. I'll teach you to see. I'll open your eyes. I'll give you eye salve so that you will see what? Well, many things, but especially my glory. Especially my love, especially that it's all in me and not in you. With you there's poverty. This poor man cried. With you there's a cry, but with me there's salvation. I hear you. I hear the poor man when he cries, and I save him out of all his troubles. I give reinforcement. The angel of the Lord encamps around you who fear me and delivers you. Oh, taste and see. You see how the Lord goes further there in a certain sense. He doesn't just say, handle me, but he says, I give you my body broken so that you might be united to me, that you may taste, that you might so give all your affections over to me and learn to see that the Lord is good. Handle me and see, the Lord said. See what? See my love. See my mercy. See my goodness. It's all with me. Is that in your heart this morning? That with you there is no goodness. With you there's just poverty and sin and shame. But with him there is such eternal goodness that it was in his heart before eternity began, before time began in eternity, that he would be the Savior of sinners to the uttermost. And dear ones, this is what the Lord reveals more and more and more deeply. But this is it. It's all with him. He is good. He is good. And he does good. Teach me thy statutes. Oh, then we see even more in his hand. Because then we see that with his nail-pierced hand, he clasps my sinful hand. As it says in Psalm 73, and we hope to sing of it later, thy hand is in my hand. That with that nail-pierced hand, he clutches onto me. And that I can know it and feel it. And live by faith. He is all. He's done it all. None of my scars will add anything to my salvation. None of my works will add anything to the certainty of my salvation. He clutches my sinful hand in his glorious, divine, human hand. Hell-closing hand, heaven-opening hand. And he says, handle me. And what do we do? What does a child do? His or her hand in the hand of a father. When the enemies come close, when things are dangerous, when your soul fears and you doubt, you hold tighter because it's all in him. Well, may the Lord give that. And may this supper also tend to that. That, child of God, you would find less in yourself and more in him. And remember these words. May they be etched on your heart. Handle me and see. And then the day will come, congregation, when it will not be by faith. It will not be here in this place. But it will be by sight. It'll be at the heavenly banquet, where some of our loved ones already are, without sin, without shame, in perfection. And they see. Oh, they see. They see that the Lord is good. Oh, Lord, give me eyes to see. Teach me every day to see. I want to see. I want to see this Jesus. To live apart from God is death. It is good thy face to seek and to see. May the Lord be more and more the one and only in the all and in all to his praise. Amen. Gracious, good-doing Lord God, wilt thou bless this ordinance of the Lord's Supper, these signs and seals, our partaking of them to our never-dying souls. May we indeed not cleave to the external elements, but lift up our hearts on high, where the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of the throne, as that merciful high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. O Lord, clutch our hand. Do not let us go. If thou were to let us go, it would be death and hell. But thou hast said, no man shall pluck thee out of my hands. Lord, we believe this promise. We believe that thou art the promiser and that thou art everything. O Lord, go with us then, we pray. And all shall be well. And we ask this all in the forgiveness of every sin. In Jesus' name alone, amen. We will sing in our seats as we return. We will sing from Psalter number 202, 1 and 2 at this time. 1 and 2 of 102. You are dismissed.
Thank you.
will finish the form. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us now therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Shall we close with prayer and also close our service? O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, wilt thou dismiss us under thy hands of blessing? Wilt thou go before us, as no doubt the strife of life will once again be upon us? But wilt thou grant that thy hand would clutch us and clasp us, and that we would run in every need and in every danger out of ourself, that we would not trust in our own hands or the might of our own hands, but that we would lean hard upon thee? Lord, wilt thou be with every soul here? Be with those who were able to commemorate thy death. Be also with those who were not able and who are no partakers of thee. Thou knowest each one. Thou knowest also those for whom this is a great struggle. O Lord, if they are thine, Lord, we pray thee to bring them through. But Lord, especially remember those who have no part in Christ. Wilt thou grant them to see the danger and how unprepared they are, not just for death, but also for life. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou wouldst work also in this service, and also could it be this evening, that sinners would flee for a first time or afresh to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, go then with us, Lord. Leave us not, neither forsake us, and tune our hearts to the praise of thy glorious grace, and do pardon our many faults and sins, even in holy things. And we ask all this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Shall we sing in conclusion number 202, the last verse? verse and then our doxology. 202, verse 3, and our doxology. God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you forever. Amen.